Love that song. Hadn't heard it in quite a while. A friend of mine wrote that song, Brother Gary Duty, back years and years ago. And every time Levi writes a new song, I always think about Brother Gary, because Levi writes songs like Brother Gary did. They're scriptural. Levi, sometimes you ask him to sing a song, and he said, well, don't nobody understand it because they don't know their Bible. And I like songs that come from a story in the Bible. I just like that. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. I think I'm going to preach a while, so y'all just settle in. It's been a good day, man. You get excited, it makes you want to preach. Amen. Lord's showing up and the Lord's stirring. There's some places, man, I'm dreading getting up. I don't even want to get in the pulpit. I'm thinking, man. I was in one church, and it was the first time I'd ever been there. And they got up and did, the teenagers did. They got up and did a drama, and I'm not against that if it's done properly. But the music they did their drama to was bad. I mean, it was bad, beyond contemporary bad. I mean, it was like Def Leppard or something. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of a rock band. I can't think of nothing. It was bad. And I had to get up and preach after that. That was hard. But the man who calmed the storm, I believe I can preach after that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. What a blessing. Matthew chapter number 17. Listen, I want to, I'm just going to read one verse of scripture, and then I got some more that I'll give you. But I want to begin, before I read the scripture, by saying we often encourage you to pray. Amen. Amen. And we need to do that. The hardest two things for you to keep up with in your spiritual life is reading your Bible and praying. The most two important things you can possibly do. If you ask somebody what praying is, they'd probably tell you it's asking God for stuff. And it's more than that. It's communing with God. It's having fellowship with God. Basically, it is talking to God. So it's important that we talk to God. God needs to hear from you on a daily basis. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it wouldn't hurt you if you prayed 10 times a day. Sometimes I pray more than that. I pray little short prayers. I ain't preaching on prayer tonight, by the way. But I'm just telling you, you can't pray too much. The Bible said pray without ceasing. When Levi was little, he called Ashley Sissy, and he thought that scripture said pray about Sissy. And that was good. He prayed for his sister, amen. But people will call me and say, pray for so-and-so. And the way my mind works, if I don't do it right then, I won't do it. And I hate to lie to people and say, yes, sir, I sure will. And then get busy and forget even God had the phone call. Yeah. Amen. So I pray right then. It doesn't matter if I'm driving down the road. I just bow my head and close my eyes. No, I'm kidding. But I pray about it right then. I was in Home Depot the other day, and somebody called and had a prayer request. And I'm just walking through Home Depot. And you may say this is, what's the word? Not reverent or irreverent. Is that right? Irreverent. But I was walking through Home Depot. You know what I did? I'm walking through Home Depot and got my buggy, and I'm just pushing that buggy. And I said, Lord, I pray you'd help them. Yeah. I just kept walking. I didn't stop and kneel. I just prayed right there. We ought to talk to God. Yeah. There's nothing wrong in asking of God. We ought to do that. But listen, there's another part. There's two sides to a conversation. How many of you know people that if you start talking to them, you can't talk back? Anybody, y'all know anybody like that? Anybody coming to mind? There was a fella that I knew, I've known for years and years and years, and Brother William is very knows him very well, and Jennifer really knows him very well. He was here for something a while back, and I started talking to him. And then he started talking to me, and I remembered. I had forgot that he was a talker like that. And Brother William left me. He just walked off. I'm like, William. And an hour and a half later, finally his wife said, we got to go. And so they left. But I didn't say nothing. I just go, yep. He didn't give me a chance to say nothing. I don't get mad. But you know it's true. We talk to God, but do you give Him a chance to say something? One of the most important things you can do in your spiritual life is learn the voice of God. When I first got saved, I didn't understand that. But I do now. I know when God's telling me to do something. I know it just as sure as the world. I've learned His voice. Now you better be a discerner, because the devil will lie to you. Amen. The devil will lie to you and make you think he's the Lord. Amen. So it's important that you learn the voice of God. I don't know how many babies is back there in the nursery, but if we took a microphone back there and those babies were crying, the mamas in this room could pick them out. I couldn't. Them mamas has got something special about them babies. They can hear them in the night. My wife would get up. I'd say, "Where are you going?" She said, "Levi's crying." That was just before he got married. And she said, "Levi's crying." I said, "I don't hear nothing." She said, "You don't hear that baby crying?" I said, "Maybe it's because I don't want to hear him cry." And mama's got that mama instincts. If he's crying, she wants to hear it. I tune that stuff out and say, "He'll go back to sleep. Leave him alone." Amen. Then he went off to Bible college. Mama learns that baby's voice. She knows that baby's voice. You say, how does God speak? How does God speak? Some of them TV preachers would tell you God talks to them audibly. I think they're schizophrenic. Could God speak audibly? Come on, could He? Of course He could. Of course He could. If He could speak through a donkey in the old Bible, He can do anything He wants. God could speak audibly. There's no doubt in my mind. I believe there's times in Scripture where He did. He could do it today. But the Bible says the just are to live by faith. So how does God speak? Let me give you the main three ways God speaks, and we'll get to the message. Number one, this book right here. This book, God speaks to us through His Word. If God's speaking to you and it in no way lines up with His Word, it ain't God. God will not speak to you contrary to Himself. Do you understand that? God, let me say it again. God will not speak to you contrary to His Word. If it's contrary to that book, you say, "How do I know?" If you feel like God's speaking to you about something and it don't line up in here or something, search it out. Amen. God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit gets a bad rep a lot of times. I've heard people say, "Boy, I feel led of God to do this. I feel led of God." And I say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, who told you that?" "Well, I felt like the Holy Spirit laid that on my heart." Don't blame Him on bad decisions. Amen? But the Spirit of God can move on you. For instance, sitting on an airplane, fixing to leave to fly somewhere, and the Holy Spirit set in, witness that man. "I'll do it when we land." No, let's do it before we fly. The Holy Spirit. If something tells me, tell that man he's the ugliest man you ever seen in your life. That's not the Holy Spirit. Amen? Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit, hey, you know what the Holy Spirit does? Basically what He does, He bears witness with this. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm going to get a new American Standard or NIV or one of these newer Bibles because I'm having a hard time understanding this book. This book's written on a fifth grade reading level." No, you need help understanding this book. Amen. You need help. You're not going to understand the other one either. Because a spiritual book cannot be fleshly discerned. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you in reading this book. Are we okay? I got saved and started reading the Bible. I read the Bible my whole life. Then I got saved and I'm reading the Bible. I'm going, "Whoa, wow." You know what I mean? It's just blowing my mind. It never blew my mind before. I read it because I had to memorize Scripture for school. But then after I got saved, there's something inside me going, "This is what He's saying." Does that make sense? God speaks to us through His Word, through His Spirit. He speaks to us through the preached Word of God. If God didn't speak to you while Levi was preaching Wednesday night, man, you wouldn't hear. If you didn't feel the Holy Spirit nudging your heart about that veil, son, hallelujah, I ain't got over it yet, man. I'm glad I got to go through that thing. I started to have him preach it again this morning. I really did. I started to say, just preach that again, man. That is the one of the best messages. That is the best message I ever heard on the veil, bro. That was awesome. Good stuff. Preaching will help you. That's why you ought to cut your phone off when you're in church. Seriously. You shouldn't be texting. You know what that is? It's a distraction. The sower is trying to sow some seed. And the devil is out there distracting, trying to keep you from hearing what's going on. Amen. Amen. Some of you kids, you need to quit cutting up while I'm preaching and listen. Amen. Amen. I started to skin a couple of you this morning. You was playing during the altar call. Hey, man, people's lives hanging in the balance. Amen. Amen. The only reason you won't sit and listen to the preaching, the only reason you'll cut up, the only reason you'll text, the only reason you're doing all this other stuff is because you don't want to hear the preaching. Amen. Preaching will help you. Preaching changed my life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Preaching changed my life. Man, I got saved, and right after I got saved, our church split, and we got a new pastor, Brother Earl Partain. And man, that man fed me. I'm telling you, he was my kind of preacher. Cornbread country. Simple enough that I could understand. He didn't speak with words as wide as this pulpit. I mean, he got down there, he put the cookies on the bottom shelf where I could get them. Amen. It wasn't going over my head. But I just sat on the pew. I mean, barely my high knee and barely hanging on the edge of that pew. But I was eating up everything that preacher said. And he didn't know it, man. He's changing my life. Preaching will help you. Even if you've been listening to the same one for 22 years, it'll still help you. Amen. It'll still help you. Man, I remember the day I left White Oak. I had heard every story Brother Earl had about the Navy 100 times. He'd say, when I was in the Navy, I'd punch somebody 7 times and say, this one's good. I knew that story. I knew what he was fixing to tell. Hey, I didn't care, man. It was good the first time I heard it. It was good the second time. It was good the third time. Over and over and over. Preach to me. Are you listening? The Word of God will speak to you. The Spirit of God, the preached Word of God, the taught Word of God. Amen. Good Bible teaching. Everybody needs that. We need to be rooted and grounded in this book. Amen. Now, say a few things about the voice of the Lord. What the voice of God does. Number one, you ain't going to like this one, but He condemns. The voice of God condemns. Have you ever had the voice of God? He don't condemn you, He condemns sin. Before you're saved, the Bible said in John chapter number 3, you're condemned already. But He'll condemn what you do, won't He?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been about to do something or been doing something and had the Holy Spirit go, hey, don't do that.
Yes, sir.
That ain't right.
Amen.
The voice of God will speak to you. A lot of times we ignore it. Amen. Every time I do something I ain't supposed to do, I know I ain't supposed to do it before I do it. Y'all talk to me. Holy Spirit will convict your heart. Oh, that's my second point. But anyway, He'll condemn what you're doing. And when He does, we need to pay attention and say, yes, sir. Amen. Then the second thing His voice does, we can skip altogether. It convicts. It convicts. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2. No, I'm sorry. It condemns. It converts. That's my second one. It converts. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2. Watch what Jesus said. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm glad His voice not only condemned. Listen, before I was converted, I was condemned. Do you understand that? In that order. I came to God condemned. I walked away converted. You know what converted means? It means changed. Any man be in Christ is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I was changed. I went down a sinner. I came up a saint. I was converted into something that I never had been before, a child of God. Now listen, He said, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. No earthly authority. No church. No papa wearing a dress. I'm talking about a priest. No organization can do what he just said. I could stand here and cross you all day long, spit holy water in your face, tell you to say seven Hail Marys. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. There is only one that can forgive sins, and he don't live in Rome. He lives in heaven. There's only one who can forgive man of their sin. I believe that's the greatest miracle in the entire Bible. I believe that's the greatest miracle in today's time. We talk about Ashley's cancer and the things that we've seen God do. And that is amazing. But the greatest thing to me is not the physical things that we see God do. It's the spiritual things that we see God do. And then that he forgives sin. We're talking about the one who hates sin. If somebody continues to do something that just chaps your hide, all it's going to do is make you mad. But sin chaps his hide. He don't like it. Bible said he couldn't even look on it. But yet he forgives it. How cool is that? That's the greatest thing in the world to me. That I could bow on my knees, a lost 19-year-old boy, and say, Father, forgive me. And he say, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. How about that? He didn't say, okay, well, let's see how you do for a few days. Come back in a month, let's see how you do it. No, he said your sins are forgiven, they're gone. How many of you remember when you got saved and that it just felt like, I've heard him say it 1,000 times, said, felt like somebody drove a Mack truck off my chest, just all that weight. You know what that was? That was the feeling of all that sin, man, just gone. It's a voice that condemns. It's a voice that converts. Thank God. Man, that's a mighty God. Amen. People come to me and say, Brother Eddie, I got a confession. I'm not a priest. Seriously, I'm not a priest. I don't want to hear. I don't even like really people coming and telling me their past. Amen. I know what Brother Jason was, and we talk about that. But I've never went to Brother Jason and said, tell me what you did. Knowing what he was enough. Brother David Naylor, when he was here, Brother David Naylor, before he went to prison, rode with the Outlaws, Brother Freddie? One of the big biker gangs. I think it was Outlaws, I believe it was. And was doing like 3 life sentences in jail. I never said, what the hell did you do? I was afraid I might not be able to let him back in the church if I asked that question. I mean, no doubt, there's probably murder and everything. You know, I didn't want to know. All I knew that he had been forgiven. So if God ain't worried about his past, I'm not going to worry about his past. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody comes in here and they're sex offender. They're a registered sex offender. We have to know that because we can't let them work in the children's ministry. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They don't need to be in the buses. They don't need to be in the nursery. They don't need to be, you know, that kind of thing we need to know. But the other stuff, just your sin, I don't need to know about that. If God forgot it, I will too. That's why our church is very easy on people who get out and come back. And I think we should be. Man, I remember, man, growing up and somebody make a bad mistake in church. They had to get up and tell the whole church what they did. They called it making acknowledgments. And I think, man, if you mess up publicly and you ought to stand up and say, church, I backslid and messed up. Y'all forgive me. You ain't got to tell them what you did. If a young lady got pregnant out of marriage, out of wedlock, she had to get up and tell the church. I think that's a nosy bunch of Baptists right there. Somebody help me right there. The only one you need to tell your sins, the one to do something about it. I can go to Brother Freddie and say, Brother Freddie, I got mad and cussed a man out today. Well, you know all I've done, make him think less of his preacher. No, he'd probably say, what a coincidence, I did too. Was it so and so? I don't need to confess my sin to him. If my sin has harmed him, then I need to go to him and make that right. If my sin has messed him up, I need to go to him and make that right. If I've sinned against him, I need to confess that thing to him. But we don't need to be telling everybody our past. Amen? I know these ladies, they're going to be giving testimonies about what God's doing in their life. And that's okay. But I'm saying inquiring minds want to know, but they don't need to know. The one who can do something about it already knows. Thank God. His voice condemns. His voice converts. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 3. This guy came to the Lord with leprosy. And the Lord said to him in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 3, he said, I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean. Huh. His voice not only condemns and converts, it cleanses. It cleanses. The voice of God will clean you up. Listen, these TV preachers got to lay hands on you, got to blow breath on you. Jesus, just speak it. Jesus, just speak it. That one guy said, you ain't even got to come to the house. Just say it, and I know it'll be done. That's his word, man. That's his word. That's why this Bible's, reading this Bible's like taking a bath. It is. It'll clean you up. It sure will. It'll polish you up. It'll knock rough edges off, man. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life. His word cleanses us. That leper threw himself on the mercy of Jesus, believing he could cure him. Why was he healed? Because of his voice. Because of his voice. Jesus could have said, I will not. But I'm glad he said, I will. When I came to Jesus and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you clean me up? I'm glad he said, I will. I will. I'm glad when I mess up and I come back to Jesus and say, God, I've fallen and I've gotten dirty again. Would you help me get clean again? I will. I will. His voice condemns. His voice converts. His voice cleanses. Amen. Thank God for his voice that cleanses. I'm reminded about the story of there used to be a song, John 3:16. Anybody ever heard it? It's not really a song. It's got music, but the guy's just talking. And he's talking about he is a little boy, and he is homeless, and he is out of shelter, and is out in the rain and the cold. And a policeman told him, said, if you'll just go to this house and knock on this door when the lady comes to the door, just say John 3:16. Just say John 3:16. He went to the house, the lady, he knocked on the door, and the lady opened the door, and he looked up in her sweet smiling face, and he said, John 3:16. She brought him in, and boy, she gave him a bath and got him warm and got him on, so wrapped him up in a big old blanket and set him down in her lap in a big old split-bottom rocking chair and was holding him up close, and he said, my, John 3:16, I don't know what it is, but it sure makes a cold little boy warm. John 3:16, I don't know what it is, but it sure made a dirty little boy clean. Hallelujah. I don't know exactly what it is about it, but I'm glad it'll make a dirty boy clean. His voice condemns, it converts, it cleanses. Not only that, his voice comforts. His voice comforts. Matthew 14:27, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He came in the night in the middle of a storm walking on the water. Now, if I'm out in a boat on the ocean, Brother Allen, and it's a storm, and I look out across there and I see some fella come walking, it'd scare me too. Amen. It'd scare me too. He said, easy boys, it's all right. He said, it is I. It's be not afraid. It's I, it is I, be not afraid. Notice the time when he came. The time when he came was when their life was in disarray, when their ship was about to go down. He came in the midst of their trouble. I'm glad the Lord said, I will be with him in trouble. He was just what they needed. He was just what they needed just when they needed it. And his voice made everything okay. Amen. His voice. Have you ever had the voice of God make everything okay? Whether through a verse, a sermon, or a song, just make everything. I'll never forget it. Just been a few months ago, man, I was going through it. I was worried. I was literally worried about something. And I don't worry a whole lot, but I really was. It had me down. And I came in here on Sunday morning. I don't tell them what to sing. I'll make a request every now and then. And Brother Freddie, they got up there and sung that song, "Why Should I Worry?" Yeah. And man, the Holy Spirit just filled me up. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I mean, God cured it right there. He spoke to me through that song. Amen. Somebody say, "I don't believe God speak through a song." Oh, you out of your mind. You out of your mind. David played and the demons left. He'd drive away the bad spirits. The right kind of music will drive the demons out. The wrong kind of music will welcome them in. And I ain't going to get on all that, but you know what's the truth, man. There were certain songs. I was on the speed team at Paulding County Skating Rink when I was a teenager. We raced, and we was good at it. And they were certain songs, when it was our time, they knew what song to play for us. It was a proven fact. The coach had clocked us. We skated faster to Life in the Fast Lane than we did other songs. I don't care if you believe it or not. Music changed the way you drive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The right kind of music will speak to your heart, man. Amen. It'll comfort you. Have you ever come to church and just been going through something? That's why most of you come to the altar during the singing. Because that song is speaking to your heart. Amen. Have you ever come in down and them get up and sing and it just lifts your spirit? Whew, thank God. Thank God. His voice comforts us. Man, we was at the funeral home today. And Melvin Timms, a brother of Clarence, the boy that got killed. We were sitting in there, and the pastor, Brother Eddie, over at First Pentecostal Church here in Villarica, he was their pastor. And old Melvin had been pretty tore up. And Brother Jay Collins asked the preacher to pray. And man, when he started praying, old Melvin said, "Whew." I said, "You okay, buddy?" He said, "Yeah, I just felt something I ain't felt in a long time." I said, "Hallelujah, son." You know what God was doing? He's trying to comfort that little fella's broken heart. We've seen it over and over and over in funeral homes and hospitals where God can just speak. God can comfort a broken heart. We've shouted at funerals. Brother Jay Bice's funeral was like camp meeting. I'm talking about people standing up and shouting. His own brother. I'm telling you, it was on, brother. I mean, it was powerful enough to get Stacy Bullock in church. That's powerful. What a blessing, man. I'm glad that God can speak and comfort me when I need comforting. Amen? When these kids fall and get hurt, they don't want daddy. Who are they running to? Mom. Because she's going to pity them. Daddy will say, "It'll be all right, rub some dirt on it. You better toughen up," especially if it's the boys. Now, daddy will pity that little girl, but they run to mama. Hey, we ought to run to daddy. Man, when we got hurt and difficult in our life, we ought to run to our father. Amen. Let him comfort our heart. Listen, it's not his desire for you to be fretting. You say, "How do you know that?" Because John chapter 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. He don't want you having a troubled heart. But if you'll let him speak to you and hear his voice, listen, close your mouth every now and then. Yeah. Brother David Gibbs preached a message. I'll never forget it, Brother Freddie. I think you and I were together. We went to Northside. I believe that's where it was. And he preached that message, "Speak, Lord." You remember that? I thought we was together. "Speak, Lord." And man, I never heard anything like that in my life. Man, I think that thing spoke to my heart. And I got to where after I'd pray, I'd just say, "Speak, Lord. I need to hear your voice. You've heard mine enough. I need to hear your voice. Speak to my heart." Amen. Some of y'all are making decisions that are life-changing without asking God his thoughts on the matter. You go around asking everybody else, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? Yeah, you ever stop and think, what does God think? God, what do you think about this? God, what do you think about me buying this house? Amen. What do you think about me buying this house? What do you think about me buying this car? What do you think about me getting together with this person? What do you think? God, speak to my heart. And he won't leave you hanging. If you want to hear him, that's the problem. A lot of people don't ask. God, they know what he's going to say. Amen. That's like these couples come in my office and say, preacher, we want to get married. What do you think? I don't think you should. Oh, well, we done got the license. What are you asking me for?
Amen, brother.
Y'all okay? You don't need my advice. You need God. Amen. And if you come to me and assure me that God has spoke to you about something, I ain't going to argue with you. Amen. Unless it's contrary to this book right here, I can tell you and say, God didn't say that. God didn't say that. Amen. We all right? His voice condemns, it converts, it cleanses, it comforts. And I love this one. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. He said, I am he that liveth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. His voice conquers. His voice conquers. His voice defeats. It defeated death, hell, and the grave. Listen, there is power in his voice. He spoke this whole world into existence. He can surely get the devil off your back. Amen. He can say in the middle of the storm, peace be still, and there was a great calm. You can stand and scream at the ocean till you're black in the face, and it ain't going to do nothing for you. But it'll lay flat for him. Man, his voice, I have been fighting battles in my life. I mean serious battles in my life before, and God speak and make the thing go away. We've got to shout victories around here because God's voice conquered. Are you listening? Quite a few years ago, I was seriously worried that we had lost this building. We couldn't make the payments. We had 30-something families in the church out of work at the same time. It was bad. I didn't know what to do. I worried, and Brother Tom worried, and I walked the floor and prayed, and I asked God. Finally, God said, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It conquered. Our bills are paid. We got money in the bank. His voice conquered. First Baptist Church carried a second mortgage on this building for $250,000. They deferred the payments for a year. It came time to start making the payments. We couldn't do it. They was charging 10% interest on top of that. We went to them and asked them, could they at least lower the interest so we could make the payment? You know what God did? God spoke to the heart of a tough old deacon and said, you're going to do more than that. You're going to do away with the whole thing. You can't tell me God didn't do that. I know God did it because it's not in their nature to give money away. I mean, dear, precious people, but that's just not that, that's not in their nature. You talking about give $250,000 plus 10% interest? God handled that. I stood right here in my office. Somebody said, I was cleaning out my office. Somebody said, why don't you throw away this old trash can? Uh-uh. That trash can reminds me of something. It reminds me of the night I set it right here on this pulpit and held that second mortgage up and lit a lighter to it and we burned it right there. Woo! That was because God came in and worked and did what we couldn't ourselves. $250,000. I believe he can do anything. I do. And I remind him from time to time, hey, you did that. Amen. You did that. I'm not worried about them buses. I mean, I'm praying about it, but I'm not worried. God, give us some buses. He can help us fix them. Or if they're unfixable, he can help us get some more. Amen. The voice of God. Let me ask you a question. I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all can get ready and get us a song. When is the last time you heard God's voice clearly? If it's been a while, it's not because He's not speaking. It's because you're not listening. You could leave church tonight, go to a restaurant, see somebody you know, and they say, "How was church?" You say, "Great. What'd the preacher preach?" You weren't listening. God's still speaking. When's the last time He spoke to your heart? Through the preaching, through the singing, through the Spirit of God, through the teaching of the Word of God? When's the last time God clearly spoke to your heart and put something on your heart? When we pray, we're telling Him what we need. A lot of times when He speaks, He's telling us what He needs. Amen. I pray every Saturday night. I'll usually have something in my mind, a direction that I feel like I need to go. But here's what I pray. Lord, what do my people need? What do they need? And I wait on an answer. Tonight I feel like He said, they need to listen to me. They need to hear my voice. If you hadn't heard in His voice, won't you come and say like Brother David Gibbs did, get in this altar and say, "Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I need your advice. I need your direction. I need your counsel. I got a situation in my life right now. I need an answer. I don't know what to do." Man, let the Lord help you in that thing. Let's stand to our feet tonight. God, dealing with your heart, you come.